This is Scott Alley. I'm the editor-in-chief at Dark Horse Comics, and you're listening to We Be Geeks.
You're listening to a We Be Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another episode of We Be Geeks, your official voice of the geek revolution. It is Mike, Jules, and Marty, as usual, and joining us for a con weekend recap, because I know Jules went to Steel City Comic-Con, I attended MegaCon, and of course, the person sitting next to me, my wife, Melissa, also went with our daughter to MegaCon, and we're just going to chat a little con. But before then, how are you guys doing tonight, besides Marty on edge?
I am on edge. I went to a con, too. I didn't tell you guys this. I went to MartyCon, which consists of vacuuming and laundry.
Oh, well, then you need to come join us down here, and we'll let you partake in that con in our house any day.
apparently, it's only good at one location. It's not a traveling show yet, so it is barely adequate at this one location. So,
were you able to pay admission costs okay?
It was close. It was tight. But,
you should have signed him up for press passes.
they don't believe in press passes at MartyCon. It's like you just got to put in the blood, sweat, and tears. So, but yeah, it sounds like you guys had a good time. I saw some of the reports and photos and things like that. So
yeah.
A good time was had by all. The youngest dressed as Wonder Woman, so she partook in the cosplay of Comic-Con.
Yeah, stayed in costume the whole time, which surprised us.
Nice. And we had a good time walking around Artist Alley and looking at all the different artists that are on display. That was Zoe's favorite of the day, besides meeting George Perez and having her drawing with George.
And meeting Rob Paulson.
Yes, she did.
And actually gave him...
Yes, she gave Rob Paulson some artwork that she did for him. She colored a Donatello for him.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because I forget, he's back on the Turtles nowadays.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's the voice of Donatello, which is Zoe's favorite because he wears the purple mask, and she's all into purple.
Plus, Donatello is just awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the only reason she likes him? Because of the purple mask? That's
one of the main reasons.
The main draw. Because he wears purple. That's gotcha. What drew her to the character, and then he became her favorite.
Gotcha. And she couldn't like Michelangelo because that's my favorite, and for obvious reasons.
Because you guys have a similar name.
Yeah.
And you like Coachella?
That and
like,
pizza.
You like Coldplay?
No, I'm not big on Coldplay. Oh. So, anyhow... I guess for me, day one, not too bad. I actually found a hidden treasure of a parking spot, and Melissa will attest to that. Right near it's a parking garage near the convention center, in which the shuttle was maybe a 2-minute walk from the parking garage. So it's like, and it dropped you off right there in the front. Didn't have to worry about with this particular building parking in the back, walking all the way through and walking through the whole internal docking area all the way around to the front. It was like in, out, one way. Didn't have to mess with the back. Ease of convenience was really good.
Well, sure. Now you give the secret away, and next year it won't be worth anything.
Hey, I didn't say where the parking garage was.
What corner is that on? Is it on the...
That's an off-the-air discussion. We're not giving that secret away, because it really did make the event much more fun.
The parking garage was up by Bell's Outlet. So
no, it really did make it much more pleasurable, because we've been to many events at the convention center in which we have made that marvelous trek from the back nines to the convention center and had to walk the entire length of the convention center to get to where we needed to be. And by the time you get there, you're just kind of exhausted. And many times we've been rained on in that process. So this was the most efficient way to get there and enjoy it without extra walking. So I will have to give the parking garage perks.
Plus, it was shady.
Yes.
And then the last day, the bus we happened to get on literally dropped us off right next to the parking garage. So it's like, get off the bus, 100-meter walk, boom, car gone. So, because we got there early enough, we parked on the first floor. So, but no, cosplayers, I was surprised this year. Really, really tame on the... the exotic look as what we've seen in the past.
You mean less exposed flesh?
When you say exotic, you mean
he means less exposed flesh.
On the guys or on the girls?
Yes.
Last year I did see at C2E2 a dude that had enough guts to do the basically the Wolverine, where he's like essentially butt naked and just has like the cables running off of him, like he just got turned and had that adamantium added to him, and he's feral and he's got like the like little sci-fi helmet on, and he had like a skin colored
hole
catcher. I don't know what you call it. Yeah, there you go. So he had that, but it was like, I mean, I was like, the rest of them, that's really gutsy right there, bro.
Yeah, I mean, there were some guys who were topless for, you know, for some of the characters. But, I mean, for the most part, you didn't see a lot of, without being mean to Xenoscope, you didn't see a lot of Xenoscope-esque cover models. From their covers.
How many Deadpools and Harley Quinns did you see? Did you keep up?
Surprisingly, there were more Eric and Ariel combos. They were the big turnout this year for some reason. There was a big influx of Ariel and Prince Eric.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there was still a lot of Harley, I mean, good amount of Harleys and quite a bit of Deadpools, but
there was the one group of parading Deadpools that we saw. Yeah. About 15 of them that were parading around together, all dressed as different versions of Deadpool.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, no, it really wasn't as many.
I'm trying to figure out the Little Mermaid thing.
I have no clue.
Something happening that I don't know about?
Like not that I'm aware of.
Nothing we could come up with.
Nothing I could think of.
Did you see any Frozen cosplay?
Day one, I think I posted the picture of them on Facebook. I don't remember.
And then the Sunday there was the Elsa, Anna, and Kristoff.
Right. That was a different group.
Right.
But the group, the Elsa, Anna that I saw the first day, I got home that night, saw something on one of the different geek sites talking about the 20 most look-alike cosplayers. And this particular Elsa and Anna were on the list.
I'm like, oh, really?
I just saw them today.
Well, I believe they're the girls from here in Florida.
Yeah, and I think they are from Daytona.
Yeah.
The Daytona area.
They're local.
And I think the Matt Smith Doctor Who lookalike was also here at the show. Because there was one guy who was real, real close.
Where was my picture for that one? No, I'm just kidding.
But saw Jimmy and Amanda on Friday. And of course, picture with Amanda is on the site. They still were talking about how they enjoyed being on the show. Did some bookings between Friday and Saturday, so we got some future guests coming, like John Tyler Christopher. John Christopher Tyler. He does it the other way for I think DeviantArt is his account, but John Christopher Tyler is the one behind the party cover or party's over cover for Star Wars,
right?
And the action figure covers.
Right.
And he's doing the action figure covers for Secret Wars and did the covers for Figment.
Yeah, he's been pretty busy lately.
Yeah. Mike Perkins is a future guest. I said he would love to come on the show. I've got my list. Let me just pull up my list of who else I grabbed. Jeff Balke. He's a colorist. Of course, there are reminders not there.
Technology is wonderful when it works.
Well, apparently, I know I saved it, but it's not here now. Frank Thierry, Mike Perkins, Sean Chen, Mike Lilly, Rob Paulson, Jess Harnell, also from the Warner Brothers, or not Warner Brothers, Animaniacs. Slowly working on that, getting them on. Some great art. Ended up getting introduced to a new card game called The Spoils. Are you guys familiar with it?
Don't know that one.
They say they are a direct competitor to Magic, but the game's played slightly different. When I played a couple demo rounds, it was kind of similar to Hearthstone and maybe a little bit to Pokemon, you know, which I've only played both on the iPad and on the computer. It was a fun little game. I mean, some of the quirks, like you can add a tactic or an add-on to your card. Like the one I played was called Hidden Sandwich. So if I got attacked, the Hidden Sandwich would take the damage first and disappear before the character took the damage.
All right.
So, and you have different classes, you know, sort of like Hearthstone. You have your Gearsmith, your Mad Scientist type character, your Thief, your Rogue, your Sorcerer, stuff like that. And each one's got different resources and tactics and strategies and interesting game. It's definitely worth checking out at your local comic book shop and getting in on that. And talk to the fine folks from Superhero Stuff. They were there again, and some things in the works there. And then spoke with Alan Bellman, Marvel legend. As he put it, the only person in the room who could say he was right there was Stan Lee at the beginning. And I did a small, real quick interview with him that'll be on Mighty Marvel Geeks this week. And he was over in Artist Alley, which is a surprise to me, because I would think a legend like that should actually be in with the creators, not over in Artist Alley. Yeah. But that's just me.
Well, then there's the whole Artist Alley in itself is not set up well yet again, as far as having enough room.
A little more room than last year.
Right, but still not enough room for people to really walk and enjoy the artwork, because you're too busy fighting the sea of crowds. And if you happen to stop at a booth to look at something, you're getting bumped and jostled because they just try and squeeze too many people in too small of a space. And these people are very creative, wonderful people, and they really deserve the room so their fans can come and enjoy and actually maybe even get some new fans, because I saw a lot of things there that I wouldn't have normally even known that these people existed, but it's really cool work that was worth showcasing, and they kind of just cramp them in these three little rows and expect you to be able to find them.
Yeah, so Jules, if you remember last year, they had several rows that went the length of the hall, the one way of the hall, and it was tighter last year. I mean, it was super tight. Figure your space, your alley space was from this table to that table,
yeah,
to Zoe's table, and you're trying to cram people in between them. This year they had the length, which was cool, but maybe a foot and a half, 2 foot more room, and it was still too tight. Still too tight. I know Yaya Han was there again, and of course her booth was, I'm sorry, supposedly Ivy Doom Kitty was there again. And here's an issue I have.
Have you ever seen them together? Maybe they're the same person.
No, I've seen them together.
Okay.
The issue I have,
cosplayer, they can switch personalities. You know?
The issue I have with cosplayers at conventions, if you have a booth, you're in Artist Alley, great. I have no problems with that. You're paying to be there. But for someone like Ivy Doom Kitty, who is paid to be there and is brought, you know, put up in a hotel or a resort by the convention, I'm sorry, I don't get what makes them qualified to be considered a talent of the same level as voice actors, as your media stars, to be at that status.
Well, technically, I was going to say, hasn't Yaya Han made a name for herself, like, in the different reality TV shows and things that she's been on, so maybe she has garnered some of that celebrity status?
Yeah, but she had that status before all that. But in her case, she paid for a booth at MegaCon for her shop to sell her wares, which is like My Little Pony accessories. Which I'm going to admit, if Zoe wanted My Little Pony ears or whatever, I'd probably go through Yaya Han, because she's got some of the top stuff out there and stuff that's going to last.
That's where we bought Paige's. I didn't realize that last year when we went. She kept begging us for these cat ears she saw everybody wearing, and I'm like, oh. So we walked around, and it was her table, and I didn't realize it until we were checking out, and I was like, why is everybody standing here, like, in line? They're not waiting in line to check out. And they're like, no, Yaya Han is, like, I guess she was, like, around, because it was, like, a big thing.
Yeah.
So she got her cat ears. She wanted the ones that move, but those are, like, $50, so we got her the, like, I mean, they're pretty nice. She also loves purple, so of course she got the black ones with the purple, like, fur like on the inside.
Well, of course. Because, I mean, purple is the it color.
And then we had to search for, so then she wanted a tail. I was like, they sell tails? Like, what? I don't understand.
I'm surprised y'all didn't get the tail at Gaga's booth as well.
I didn't realize that, I didn't even know what was on her table. Like, I saw the ears and I was like, ooh, beeline ears. Like, because there was a huge line and I didn't even know that there was tails that went with it. Like, I'm not up on this whole thing. So yeah. It was like a learning experience for me. But the tails aren't really cute either. They're kind of like bushy. It's like, I don't know, it looks like a foxtail or something.
But let me go out and buy one of those wispy feather dusters and just dye it.
It would probably be cheaper and have almost the same results.
Probably. Probably. But, yeah, it's... I don't mind the cosplayers. And like I said, I don't have a problem if Doom Kitty bought a table, especially in Artist Alley, and sold her pictures there. But to be in a position where you're paying for the autograph or to have a photo with her, I'm sorry, just because she's a quote-unquote professional cosplayer, I don't understand. It's like the cosplayers that go on crowdsourcing or crowdfunding, be it Kickstarter, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and go, I want to make these new costumes, or I want to replace stuff that broke in my apartment. Please help me out. Now, go to GoFundMe for that. Don't waste our time on Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
Go to get a real job and get yourself.
If you don't have the money for it, you don't need to buy it.
Exactly. But we have it.
Savings. You know,
it's one of those things of, you know, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I don't understand seeing cosplayer as a celebrity, but it's also one of those is they have established themselves in the name in that community. And so people do come to see them. And, you know, as long as they can prove that people actually do come for them, maybe not, you know, solely for them. I can't think of someone just coming solely for, like, Ivy Doom Kitty or Yaya Han. But it's possible, I guess. Anything's possible.
They've created their own fan bases.
Yaya Han.
Especially with being on TV. I think the draw of, like, being on TV is going to help you become some level of celebrity anyways. Even if you're just, you know, barely on TV or you know, second fiddle to somebody, you're still on TV, so you are of celebrity status.
Well, and you also have to think in the perspective of the con worlds. They are celebrities in their own right in that world because they do travel from convention to convention and they do build their fan bases. So technically, in the reality of that world, they are as notable as your comic creators, artists, illustrators, voice actors, because they've created that celebrity for themselves in that little niche world.
Take it this way too. Like, would you consider like somebody that just gets in makeup and is a zombie on The Walking Dead? Would you consider them any kind of celebrity? They are on a TV show, and these are people that are paid to come to maybe some smaller conventions, like or maybe even like the Walker Stalker Con or something like that.
Now,
they
Walker
are a celebrity that, but
Walker Stalker Con, I would have no issues with, because as we said, that is primarily a Walking Dead convention.
Right.
Now, if you had someone who, you know, oh, I was the third X-Wing pilot, second row on the far left, you know, you see my arm move during the briefing meeting of Return of the Jedi. Does he have every right to be called and invited to Star Wars Celebration? Yeah. To a MegaCon or Steel City or C2E2, I would say borderline.
Of course, you and I definitely remember growing up the conventions we've gone to where that's the kind of, that was the norm, like having the guy that was like, not the guy that was on the screen most of the time, but the guy who's next to the guy who's next to the guy would show up at the little local show that you go to, and that was like the biggest celebrity you'd see all year. It's changed drastically in the last 15 years, but that used to be like all we got, and we loved it, and we were fine with it.
Right.
Does the level of celebrity change depending on what they do?
I think so.
What show they're at?
I think so a little bit.
Right.
I know, like, with the convention coming up, was it Geeked Con? GEEK'D Con. That's going to be happening in August in Shreveport, Louisiana. I mention that because, one, Talking Comics, one of the podcasts on the network, is based out of there. Two, that's where Melissa and I moved to Orlando from. They're going to have as guests the two guys who played Michonne's pets, which we know was one's the husband and the other one's, the brother or friend. They're going to be there as guests, but they were almost characters in their own right for as long, for they were featured on the show for what, 5-6 episodes as being dragged?
I think they got two, really. Because, like, when they first showed up, when Michonne first showed up, I mean, she was outside of the fence for a little while. So I'll give them three. You had the episode where she actually kind of flashback, and you also saw a little bit of her backstory, and they weren't zombies yet. And then when they were zombies, so because she did wander around for a while, didn't she?
Yeah,
she had Andrew. I forget. Yeah, it's all the whole season's coming back to me now.
Hey, they had they had action figures made of them.
They got more screen time than your average zombie. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. So I mean, do they deserve a little celebrity? Well, yeah. I think so. I mean, they were known as Michonne's pets.
Yeah, and they had some speaking lines, so, in the show.
Pre-zombie, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, Artist Alley at MegaCon, definitely a lot of great stuff there this year.
Sorry, just kind of wrapping up the conversation. It's like, so you're maybe almost equating it to say, if this was a cosplay specific convention, them being there as guest of honor makes sense. Being not so much the cosplay doesn't make as much sense for you.
I mean, like I said, paying to have a table at Artist Alley makes more sense, or having a paid table out in the main floor makes more sense than the show paying to have
them make an appearance.
Her there in the same section as all the voice talent.
Yeah. I'd like to see the negotiations in that anyway. I think that would be interesting. Like, how do you think that you are of value to our show, and they've got some sort of numbers back up there.
Yeah,
the reason that they get so
they have 6 million hits on social media.
Right, I have 2 million Twitter followers.
I sold over 100,000 lingerie photos that have nothing to do with my cosplay. I'm off my website.
Well, also, I feel like based on, like, when I seen her line, and I didn't even know who she, at the time, I didn't know who she was. I had never heard of her, and her people were looking at me like I was crazy. I think they really think that, they need to have a couple cosplayers to bring in people, to bring in cosplayers and to bring in their fans as well. But yeah, I was like the last person in the world to know who that was, literally.
I wouldn't know her if I was standing right next to her. If she were in a costume, I might not even know who her costume was supposed to represent. I just know a little bit of her simply because we watched a reality show based on cosplay.
Heroes of Cosplay.
Yeah, I watched a few episodes with Mike on that. I'm a geek by association. It's not really my intense world. I have my things that I have, I have things that I have interests in that I follow, but it's not something that I get really immersed in. And we have conversations about it, but it's not as podcast worthy as what you guys talk about kind of thing. So we sit around and we debate different things and things from our childhood and come up with some crazy lines of, oh, do you remember this or oh, do you remember that? But as far as like Star Wars, my husband is a Star Wars fan. I mean, there's no denying it. You look around my house at the collectibles, everything. He is a Star Wars fan. He'll start talking to me about Star Wars and I'll say, you have to remember, I have not seen this movie since it originally aired in the theaters. I don't remember every minute detail of it, but I liked it.
Mike, we gotta talk. You own how many? We just had this conversation last week. How many different versions of Star Wars you have? And your wife hasn't watched since the theater.
The closest one I have is Zoe and I sat down together to watch episode 4.
Star Wars. Sorry, I'm gonna call it Star Wars because that's how I knew it. Not A New Hope.
But I said episode 4 because that's where it falls in keeping. I do know that. I do know my Star Wars trivia and things along those lines, but I can't tell you the minute details of each film. You know, Zoe and I sat down to watch it, and she made it 3/4 of the way before she fell asleep.
Now the moments where we have this. are getting lesser and lesser.
Hey, I can keep up in the superhero world because I grew up with superheroes, and I know my Transformers pretty much and things like that because that's what I grew up with. When you came home from school, it was the Transformers, G.I. Joe, Justice League, or Super Friends. You know, those were the cartoons, She-Ra, He-Man. That's what I grew up watching, so that's, you know, my kind of...
Oh, wait, we have Marshawn Lynch's opinion on this.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
You are so funny. Remember, I am in close proximity to you.
So, you guys have been... How long have you guys been married, if you don't mind me asking?
We will be married 19 years this June, and we've been together 22 years. And
23 years in September.
It's 23 years in September. Well, yeah. And he's still alive, so we're doing good.
So I was gonna say, like, because that's interesting that you know, as the time has gone on, like, how much did you said you hadn't seen Star Wars since they were probably in the theaters,
right?
So it's not like you were probably up to it. And as the time's gone on, the longer you've lived together, the more it's just kind of like naturally, osmosisly seeped into your
yes, it just kind of creeps in and engulfs you, and you don't have a choice. You know, that's just kind of how it works. I used to do a lot of what I called the smile and nod. He would talk endlessly about things, and I would just do the smile and nod and say, yes, dear. And, you know, as you said, by osmosis, a lot of it sunk in, and I can pass most of the quizzes on Facebook and things like that with pretty good results, where I can say, okay, he knows I was paying attention at some point, even though I gave the glazed over look.
It's a trap.
Did you guys ever have the Star Wars Trivial Pursuit edition?
Oh, I'm sure we have it here somewhere. If we didn't have it,
we were going to get it,
and we never did. We have the Monopoly game. That's what
yes,
we have.
Yes, we have Star Wars Monopoly.
I would be really interested to see, especially now, who would win. Like, if you guys just played each other, because I got that game when I was in high school, and that was like when the re-release was coming out.
Right.
So me and my friends are just like knee deep into like watching the movies as many times as we can. And so we got the Trivial Pursuit. Like, oh, this would be awesome. And every time we played it, the person that knew the least amount of Star Wars always won. Because they'd get like the easy ones. They'd be like, who is the guy in all black? And it'd be like, Darth Vader. And they'd be like, who's the little green guy? Yoda. And then we'd get like, what's the first line said in the cantina scene? I'm like, screw you, Trivial Pursuit. I don't know this. You know, just complete, you know, you would have to have watched it 1 million times instead of 100 times to actually.
Yeah.
You'd have to know the question ahead of time before you even knew the answer.
I think what we were waiting for at the time was we have a Trivial Pursuit game. Actually, I think we have a couple copies. There are a couple different ones now. But we also had the card sets, because they sold separate cards, you know, for new versions. You could either buy a whole new set, or you could just get the cards. We were waiting for just the Star Wars cards.
And it never materialized.
You could only get the full game, so we never got it.
Well, I will have to talk to
them. Now that I think about it, the selling point for the version I got was it was like a 10-card set of questions for the upcoming Episode 1 movie. So that's how long ago it was.
Right.
It was like, you know, so it's impossible to know those, because the movie hadn't even come out yet.
Well, you know, if somebody gets rid of it at a yard sale and my mom or sister are there, you'll eventually get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My family is on the lookout for any and all relatively unique Star Wars merchandise for him.
There's one Christmas, got the Empire Strikes Back record.
Yeah.
Read-along book. Nice. It was the record in the book. I actually ended up with two copies. Same Christmas from them.
Yes, they help. What is it? They support your habit. Is that the saying?
It's just like the reason I work for Disney is to support yours.
Yes. Well, wait a minute. I was with you long before you started working for Disney, so that really doesn't hold true. That's probably the reason I've stayed with you so long.
I'm about to lose my wife. What can I do? She really likes Disney. Maybe I'll go work for him.
No, that's one of the perks for keeping him around. Yeah.
Yeah, truth comes out.
No, you know I love you. If I didn't, you'd be dead.
The rule in this house is...
Oh, no, I get it. The first rule of Robot Fight Club is you don't talk about Robot Fight Club.
Okay, never mind. There is no rule.
Now, the first rule is your wife is always right. The second rule is if you forget this, read rule number one again.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
I'm having fun with this couple's night. We need to get Jules' husband on. What's he doing right now?
There you go.
No,
we have a saying, we kid because we care. If we didn't like each other, we'd never talk to each other. So.
And you both have a good sense of humor, so that helps.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You can't help.
I don't think you can live together with someone that long and not, you know, be on the borderline of laughing at them and wanting to strangle them. So there's that.
Well, another secret his mother told me before I married him. She said, "You have to remember, Melissa, Michael is kiss or kill. You either love him or you want to kill him. There's no in between." And I must say she was very, very right.
Your mom just give a Yoda do or do not statement to your future wife at the time?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had some Yoda wisdom there, and I turn it around on him all the time, and I tell him, do or do not, there is no try.
Go, young Padawan.
And he's like, you really had to pay attention for that part? Thanks.
Yep.
You're regretting this decision now, aren't you?
Yeah. What else happened at the show? I'll help you out, Mike. What else happened at the show?
No. Well, we did... buy a print from, or a sketch from George Perez. So we have started our George Perez collection. Zoe got to pick it out because the first one was her choice. She wanted Wonder Woman and she wanted Cap, but he goes, you know, just do one. And he goes, but you know what? I'll see what I can sneak in. So he did the print of Wonder Woman and then just a little bit of a head of Captain America.
Silhouetted next to a Wonder Woman. It's really cool.
It's
It probably helped that she's a cute kid and was dressed as Wonder Woman. So
So the next print is up in the air on who it's going to be. I'm probably going to let Melissa pick it next.
I think we were pretty much determining it was going to be another one along the lines of the things that Zoe likes, and it was either going to be Starfire or Raven.
Which I wouldn't be opposed being a Teen Titans fan because of George.
I was going to say, that's what I thought you were going to come out with. I thought it was going to be a Raven one.
If we could have done a second one, yeah, I probably would have done either Raven or Starfire.
But see, the wonderful thing about George is all his proceeds from these conventions goes to a charity. And this charity, this go-round, was a middle school for the arts program.
Yeah, I think up in New York.
So that's one of the things that I love when he does this. Not only does he take time and spend time with his fans and really, you know, makes an effort to connect with his fans, he also gives back to the community through his work with the different charities as well as Hero Initiative, and he's just one of the best people that I think I've ever met all around. I'm really impressed by him.
Now, going back to the first day and talking about Hero Initiative, they had at the booth Friday and Saturday pro wrestler, cosplayer. I never realized, but apparently she also appeared in Playboy, April Hunter. And she was there and was signing because she's also one of the models used for George Perez's Sirens, which if you haven't read Sirens, gotta check it out. It's a great series. It really is. Issue 4 comes out soon, sometime within the next couple months. I'm not sure how far behind he is on it. But she sold candles, and I picked one up for Melissa, and we went out to dinner Friday, came back, and the candle was on the floor because the dog decided she wanted to share the candle.
Yeah, it's in a metal tin with a lid that has, like, a plastic liner in the lid. It's like a metal rim with the plastic liner, and it had, you know, her logo on top. And the house smelled wonderful when I walked in. I'm like, what's that coming from? I come around the corner, and I see the candle in the middle of the floor. So she was channeling our golden retriever that passed away last year because he was our Java junkie dog that loved to get coffee any way he could. So she was trying out the coffee candle. Thankfully, it was down far enough she couldn't eat it to hurt herself, but she tried. She's a mess.
So, I think that almost concludes MegaCon.
I think so. So
Jules,
favorite,
won't you?
What's favorite moment of the weekend? What would you say? What would you
For me, it's a tie. watching Zoe give Rob Paulsen the picture and just his reaction. And to me, it seemed very genuine.
Yes.
It wasn't, you know, how some people are, oh, this is so cute. Thank you so much. You're a doll. No, he was very, very legit about the whole thing. And, you know, it was great with her. It did a couple of the voices that she would know. Never really slipped into Donatello, but, you know, did some of the Disney Junior voices that she knows. And she kind of cracked a smile. She was one of those, that's kind of creepy, but it's kind of cool type smile.
Yeah, she's still trying to figure out the animation world and animation versus reality, you know, and the different voices and things along those lines. And she has her timid moments where, you know, she's five and this is a huge event. So she had her moments where she was rather timid. But I think one of the other ones was when she was taking her My Little Pony comics to be signed.
Yeah, by Katie Cook and Andy Clark.
Andy Price,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so and she got them to sign her books, and we told her, if you're going to do this, you have to go up and give them the books yourself. Mom and Dad are not going to do it for you. So she went up and would say, would you please sign my book? So it helped bolster her confidence and kind of give her some reinforcement.
Now, when they handed the books back, yes, I helped her out because she wasn't sure what to do. But with Katie, so we got a My Little Pony postcard done by Katie.
Yeah.
And then Melissa got a pet portrait.
Yes, I had her draw Coco.
So,
yeah. Katie Cook is just wonderful. We were lucky enough. She came to Pittsburgh Comic Con last year. We were lucky enough to meet her, and she's awesome.
We need to get the Gronk books because I think Zoe would really dig Gronk.
And she would love Gronk. Gronk is very. There's a lot I haven't read, but there's a lot I have because I think it's like, I don't know if it's daily or weekly. She's done a lot. They're online, so you can go online and read them. But she puts every single fandom you can possibly think of: Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. I can't, you know, everything you think of is in the Gronk comic. Like, she really figures out how to, like, incorporate that into her comics. So, like, you'll be reading it and you're like, oh my gosh, like, Lord of the Rings, or, you know, so it's pretty cool. There's even a couple board, I think Munchkin was in there or something.
Yeah, I think so.
She gets everything in there.
She was telling Zoe that she is in a recent episode of My Little Pony.
Yes, they made her a pony.
And her
cutie mark is the little bubble with the heart in it, the thought bubble with the heart in it.
And the character's name is Bittersweet. So
if you are a purveyor of My Little Pony, you can watch for her.
So she has been immortalized in the pony world.
Like on the show or in the comics?
In the animated series. In the animated series.
I guess it's pretty easy for her to get in the comics. She just write or sort of draw herself in there. That's not a big deal.
I think the other moment that's tied for me is watching Zoe watch George draw Wonder Woman.
She was so fascinated, and she's always liked to draw or color, but she was always what I would call the lazy colorer. She would just scribble real fast to get it done, and we went to grab a bite to eat, and she had a coloring sheet at the restaurant, and she was so focused and taking her time and filling it in like she was supposed to after that, after just sitting there and watching him. It's like it sparked something, and I asked her, I said, what's running through that mind of yours? Do you even know? She's like, yes, drawing. So she's, you know, a lover of the arts and all things geek because Dad's influenced that.
Yeah. So, Jules, why don't you fill us in on Steel City?
Steel City was very uneventful. It's really small. Like, I can't even explain how small it is. But I think the most famous person that was there, there might have been more, I'm not sure, but this is the one, was I just drew a blank.
Noah Wiley.
Yeah, so he
just
was there.
You saying you were standing in line.
Yeah, well, what happened was he was supposed to have a photo op, and we went to the photo op, and because that's what we wanted to do. And as we were getting ready to actually walk there, they like announced, oh, Noah Wiley is done with photo op and he's going to sign. And we're like, ah, so go over. Well, they bumped it because he wasn't supposed to be there until like an hour later than they had or something. I don't know. So we had to do it the next day. So I was kind of upset. And then we go to do it the next day, and the line is just like a bazillion miles long. And I'm like, all these people are here for Noah Wiley? I didn't think anybody knew who he was, but like he was in ER for how, right. You know, and everybody loves ER. And that's really like the people that, like when we went to the Q&A, everybody was asking them ER questions. Nobody was asking about like fallen skies or librarians. It was all ER stuff. So we got our picture taken with him, and we only got about 2 seconds of them. Like it was in and out, like they got us in and out. And so I got to go in first, and we had our kids with us, so they gave us a little bit more time. And he's just such a sweet guy. I was like, I kind of wish we would have actually went and got like him to sign something so we could kind of talk to him a little bit. But he did the Q&A, and that was actually kind of insightful, but a lot of it was ER. So Ray Park, actually, he was there too. I didn't go by his booth, but we were in the Q&A because his Q&A was before Noah Wiley's, and his Q&A actually was really, really good. I actually really liked it, and it was only 30 minutes. And what else did we do?
We
just kind of walked around.
You know who Ray Park is, right, Liz?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to double check.
I know.
Now you're making me second guess myself. He's from Ghostbuster, right?
No.
No.
Oh.
Okay. No, that's
a Ray.
Yes.
There's a Ray in there.
Well, that's Ray Parker Jr., right?
No. Did the theme song.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm close. Then enlighten me, okay, because
Ray Park was Darth Maul.
Okay, well, I know.
Was also the original Toad on the original X-Men movie.
Okay, well, see, I know his characters. I don't know his actor name. I'm horrible with actor names. I know the parts they play. You know, if you tell me the movie and the character, oh, yeah, I know that person. You tell me, you know, it's Jim Smith, I don't know.
Snake Eyes.
Yeah. So. Like I said, I know the characters because those are recognizable.
So those are really his three movies. So the list doesn't go much more than that.
He's also,
I've seen him in the Q&As, and he's like, you know, he seems like he's an appreciative guy. Like he's just happy that, you know, still want him to show up and talk because, you know, he knows he hasn't done a ton. He's not like one of the main draws on Star Wars anymore, but he's a really personable dude.
Yeah.
And he wishes he could do all the martial arts that he used to do back in 99 when when he was Darth. He said that he was in an unbelievable shape back then.
The one time I saw him at Star Wars Weekends, he got out of his car right before they were stepping down or coming off the parade route. They were heading up to the stage next to Star Tours. He gets out of the car and starts doing some of the martial arts routines in front of the car in the gap as he's heading up to the stage. I'm like, that's impressive. It really was.
I do remember that summer that episode one was about to come out. I was at it was Wizard World when they just had the one show in Chicago, and I didn't go to the actual Q&A, but he was in like the main room for doing Q&A, and he did like, you know, a little demonstration of martial art, and I heard about it. You know, this is before like social media and stuff like that, so it was just like the talk around the con, like people like, oh man, he was really, you know, showing some pretty sweet moves and stuff like that. So, you know,
he'll still show off if handed a double bladed lightsaber. I mean, you see videos of it all the time where he'll grab it, find that balance point, and then just all of a sudden start going. It's like, yeah, and you can just tell the LEDs cannot catch up with the moves.
He also has an accent, and I was not expecting that coming out of his mouth. I was like, whoa, like.
He never talks. He never gets to talk in any of his movies.
I know. I was like,
Snake Eyes is a silent character. Darth Maul got dubbed over. Toad, he might have said like two lines.
Yeah.
If that.
Possibly, yeah.
But didn't he have more his normal voice in as Toad?
Yeah.
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 In the four words he got to say in the movie, possibly. It's hard to tell because he didn't. His sentences were never that long.
And the tongue got in the way.
Exactly.
The one thing about Steel City Con and anything that's in that convention center, because Pittsburgh Comic Con was there last year, and of course next year it's going to be at the DL David Lawrence Convention Center. It's going to be Wizard World. That's what Pittsburgh Comic Con is moving to. But Steel City Con was there this year. I mean, when we went, is that when they have Q&As, you cannot, unless you're sitting right in front, which we were pretty close to the front. you can't hear anything because the rooms are so big. I don't know what's going on with their sound system, but it's so hard to hear them. So like half the time, like I was really trying to listen to Ray Park. I was really trying to listen, but then with his accent and then I couldn't hear, I was like, oh man, I'm missing so much of this because I cannot hear what he's saying. Like and then people are talking and laughing and I was like, oh, that's the only thing. Like I wish they would invest in better, you know, people come. Like I love Q&As and panels are like my favorite part of Comic Cons because I like to hear what they think and how, you know, things that are going on. The first one we went to was James O'Barr, who is the creator of The Crow, and with the Crow, there's like Crow movie coming out.
Right.
So
the reboot.
He was there. Right. Yeah, and he did, oh my gosh, he did, I think I put it on Twitter, he did a crypto for my husband, and it is so awesome. I was so jealous. I was like, I want to go get one, but I don't want the same because we already have one. So now I don't want one, but I want him to do something else. But the only thing I can think of him to do now is crypto because it's just so, so, so awesome. Like, and he only charged us like $50, which I thought for as much as he did like it, like as much as he did to it, it's just, oh, it's so beautiful. So his Q&A, I had a hard time hearing as well. And he's been through he told us like about like, I guess like his fiance was killed by a drunk driver. So he's just had a really hard life but he's very, very, very personable, like just a really nice guy. So, but yeah,
I think I remember like when the Crow was like that hot commodity, like not too long after the movie, like he kind of got really sick of the spotlight kind of deal. Like he was really, you know, not to the level of Alan Moore, but not too far from, and just kind of go into the shadows as much as he possibly could. So it's kind of, I want to say, now that I think about it, I think I saw his name on the bill at Lexington Comic Con when I was up there, but I can't remember if I found his table or not. But yeah, so he's seems like he's making the rounds more and more. I don't, maybe it's to do with the movie, or maybe he's just, you know, the spotlight doesn't burn him anymore.
Right. Well, yeah. I think part of the problem with, you know, some of these conventions, because I know going to Star Wars Celebration, I was able to hear with no problem any of the different shows. And I'm not talking about the big behind-the-scenes stage or the digital stage or the main stage. I'm talking, you know, like the collector's panels or some of the small, the Hasbro panel. It was fairly easy. But then again, Repop, Lucasfilm, they're going to put the money into production and making sure things are... Now, if there's a panel with six people, each person's got their own microphone. That's not an issue. Whereas the smaller shows, they're trying to save money and they're trying to do some of these panels and whatnot and do the rooms for as cheap as possible. And it translates. It really does.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I want to hear what they're saying. I'm so upset. The other thing we did, which I forgot about, was like my favorite part. We did the charity quick sketch, and all of the proceeds went to MS. So any amount of tickets that you bought, it all gets donated to MS. And what they do is they had like, I think they had like 15 artists up there, and it's supposed to be as fast as you can. You sketch, and then we bought like $25 worth, and we won two. And like the first time we did it, which was like when we went to Pittsburgh Comic Con, we didn't win anything. And I was like, this time we're going to win. And if I have to buy more, I'll buy more. Cause it's not, you know, it goes to a good cause. But some of the things like, and then and the people that are up there up front, like the artists, they're really funny. So they're like joking around, and like, the things that people wanted them to draw was just, some of it was so overboard. Like they wanted, one of the guys, people actually asked if you could do a Captain America Nazi. And so all the artists were like, no, we can't do it. Like that, like that's over the line. And they're like, that's what's over the line. Like we were saying, like all this other stuff, like that was like totally ridiculous that you would never ever, like somebody was like, can you do every single Disney character ever? And they're like, ever, ever, ever? And they're like, yeah. But somebody did it, and somebody did the Captain America. He had like a really mad face, and he had like the Nazi symbol on his helmet. And then they were just like, the whole time they were talking about saying like, oh, no one's going to claim this. Like, cause after they called the number, no one's going to claim this. And, it was just, and they
now
did it for
Jules is proudly hanging it over. Him.
They did it for 2 hours. And the first, charity quick sketch that I did was only an hour. So this was like really like, we were like, you know, but, and it's just a lot of fun because like you get to hear what other people are trying to suggest. Like one of them was, a Gothic Princess Leia. The one that I actually won, the first one that I won was a suggestion. Somebody suggested Chewbacca as a pinup, so that's the one that I won. And he has a big pink bow, and he has pink lips, and he has little heart. I think, I can't remember if it's little hearts or little kisses. So I was happy to win that one.
Did how can I say this? Did Chewbacca trim at all for his sexy pinup thing, or is he still like super hairy?
Still kind of hairy, but it looks okay. Looks smooth. Like it's like all
conditioned.
And, yeah, yeah, it's conditioner. But the other thing that was kind of like, me and my husband were like, why everybody was saying, like, this person, like, beating up Elsa. Everybody, like, and that was, like, a lot of little kids. So they would say, oh, can you do the Hulk beating up Elsa? Can you do, I can't really remember, but they're all beating up Elsa. And then the one artist was like, wow, this is a violent crew. And it was just, like, everybody was picking that. And I was like, why is everybody picking that? Why? And then I was thinking, if I think of something really good and somebody draws it, I don't want anyone else. I was like, I don't want anyone else to win it. I was like, it's not guaranteed that you're going to win it. And so I really wanted somebody to do, and I don't even know if I'm going to say it because now someone's going to steal my idea, but I wanted someone to do, because I was on this crypto kick now, cause since my husband had crypto, I was like, oh, crypto. I wanted someone to do Snoopy, but like as crypto, kind of like a mashup, because I was like, oh, no one will ever have that. That's like one of a kind. But then I was like, someone else will win it, and then I'll be mad. So,
yeah, you know, there is a Snoopy movie coming out soon.
Yes. There is, and actually we give our kids money, like we actually gave it to my daughter, but my sons, we keep a hold of it, and we say, okay, you guys can, like, we give them $20, we're like, you guys can get whatever you want. And my son ended up getting, I found like Matchbox cars, but it's a Snoopy one, it's like a newer Snoopy one, so he got that. And then of course he got the Mystery Machine because he loves Scooby-Doo now.
Just
and
wait
then of
till
course
the Lego
my
kit comes out.
Oh, he's gonna freak out, he loves Scooby-Doo. My daughter, on the other hand, she is into Portal now, and there's this Portal cube that's like as big as like our house. Like, it's so freaking big. And I was like, we're not getting that because it's too big. It's not going to fit anywhere. So then, like, we split up, and she goes with my husband, and I have my 4-year-old. Next thing I know, she's like, guess what we bought? I'm like, please tell me you didn't buy the Portal cube. She's like, yeah, it's in the car. I'm like, oh, so now we have this giant Portal cube. It doesn't do anything. It's just a Portal cube. It's just a box.
It
has the heart.
It takes up space.
Yeah. It barely even fit in our, I have a Jeep. It barely fit in our Jeep. I'm serious. That's how big it was. Like,
Can she stuff the little brother in it? Is that what it's good for?
Well, they sit on it now. It's like a chair. It's like, it does not, as far as I know, it does not open, but
it will be there for you to find in the middle of the night with your toe. And on a scale of 1 to stepping on a Lego, how bad will it hurt?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's a Lego. Legos get like right in between them bones.
Oh.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how did that hurt? Lego.
And everybody just understands. They're like, okay, I know exactly what that's like.
So Joel, it's the perfect charity drawing idea for you for a suggestion. Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman as nerds or geeks that are still living in their mom's basement.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or as us. Yeah. Could have got the Trinity thing, but with us.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Well, mine was Lego Batman riding a unicorn, jumping through a fire hoop. And everybody was like laughing and saying that's a good idea. Nobody did it. Well, I was then, like, that's a good one.
Actually, you should do Lego Batman riding Unikitty jumping through the hoop.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But they drew some of the other ones that were like, I don't know, way out there. Like the Gothic Leia actually was really cool. I kind of wanted the Gothic Leia. And, oh, there was, which I wanted, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I can hang it up. It was Batman. I mean, this was really, really a nice, like, he took his time on it. It was Batman eating, and Robin was behind him, like, but he was eating Robin's brain. So Robin, and Batman was a zombie. And it was so cool. Like, it was, he did it, because they gave them crayons and a Sharpie. So that's what they got to work with. Somebody did a Ninja Turtle as a zombie. That one was good. I really wanted that one. Somebody did, like, the Hulk, and he had his arms up, and he had like ballet shoes on. He had a tutu, so I really wanted that one. That's the one I really wanted. I didn't win it.
That one's good.
Which ones did you win?
Well, I won that one, and then I won another one, which we don't know because we couldn't hear what the suggestion was, if it was a suggestion. So it kind of looks like, this is what we think, is it kind of looks like Superman, like with the beard and like long, shaggy hair. So like we just call it our Superman sketch because we don't know what it is.
Gotcha. What was the other one you said?
The Chewbacca.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Somebody did win a Superman. It was Superman is an anime character, and that one was really cool. I wanted that one. And then somebody did, I want to say someone did Zelda. I don't know. There was too many to keep track of. And what they'll do, too, is if there's something you really want, like the one guy, I can't remember, I think his name was Ed Beard or something. I forget. But he does the magic cards, so he's, like, famous.
Right.
The whole 2 hours, he did one sketch. So it was freaking epic, right? So before he was like, okay, I'm done with my sketch, and they like held it up and everything, he's like, does anyone want to buy tickets? So everybody was buying tickets. And I was like, oh, we're not going to win this now. And so somebody ended up winning it, but it was like, he did a dragon, and it was just like, it was beautiful. But he only does like one or two drawings every time he does it. Where everybody else does like five or six, he does like one. So that was really, really nice, but we didn't win it. I was like, oh.
Well, it's okay because, you know, Marty's suffering up there in Nashville because Chicago beat Nashville 4-3 in overtime.
Double overtime.
And, wow.
Double. And I was going to say you should congratulate me because I did not just yell a couple expletives while we were doing the podcast as I saw it happen, because that was horse honky.
Yo, I found him!
I don't have faith in my Predators, Mike. You got them picked to go pretty far in this tournament, and I'm not even sure if they're going to get out of the first round now.
So. It's only game one.
They go up 3-0 in the first period, and it's 3-3 after two.
I picked Nashville to win in six games in the first round. So there's five more games to go. It's okay.
Yeah. Whatevs, man.
But before we wrap up the show tonight, I know Jules put out the question. I'll put out for questions on Twitter, and from Brett De Silva, he asked this question: do you think the Wonder Woman movie will ever get made with the director walking out?
Yes.
Somebody's going to do it, right? I mean, look how long Ant-Man was in production, and it's getting made and released this year. So
true.
Yeah. As long as Superman, Batman doesn't become Batman and Robin, then I think Wonder Woman's got to be around the corner somehow.
They actually announced that the new director for the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Patty Jenkins, she was going to direct the Thor 2 movie, and it was like the same thing that happened here. It was like creative differences. And now, I don't know what happened there, but now she's going to do the Wonder Woman movie. So I'm guessing that like they like went on social media and was like, oh my gosh, everybody's freaking out. We got to get another female on there. So,
well, I think the whole thing's been, what was it, Joss Whedon was going to do one back before Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy went off. I mean, there's been talks of a Wonder Woman movie for a while now. It's never gotten off the ground. Listen to our interview with Gail Simone. We bring up the question there, and you know, she says it's because there's just not the right script. You know, what do you guys think is causing the problem that Wonder Woman is just not hitting the big screen?
I always think that. I mean, because the DC animated movie was pretty good.
Yeah.
I remember it being enjoyable. But, you know, the one thing that Wonder Woman surprisingly doesn't have, unless, you know, I'm just overlooking it, she doesn't have that definitive story. Like, you can name a half dozen easy Batman definitive stories. You could probably name a couple of Superman definitive stories fairly easy. But try to think of like that defining moment other than Wonder Woman's origin, and what do you come up with?
Well, and then you also have, as far as live action goes, the only real point that this generation knows is the Linda Carter series that was on television, and it was very campy, and it was, you know, just kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek humor with the Nazis and everything else, and I don't know that they want to revamp that style or that genre, so they're probably having, you know, creative difficulties coming up with, like you said, a story arc to make a movie.
Yeah, I think that's really always been the problem with it, or the hard part of adapting Wonder Woman. It's just she hasn't been in that spotlight for that long, or for so long, a very long spotlight. Hopefully that'll change. You know, Gal Gadot, I guess, place is signed on for the long haul, so surely she's going to make some sort of impression.
Right. Well, and of course, a lot of people forget that before Linda Carter, it was Kathy Lee Crosby in a one-off who played Wonder Woman. And it was a slightly different Wonder Woman, more, not as big with the superpowers, but more of the Amazonian fighting ability aspect. And of course, that one just didn't, that was in 74. Of course, they scrapped that whole thing, went with Linda Carter in 75 and continued forward, in which they advanced it. Now, after the first season taking place in World War I, the next two seasons take place in modern 70s, I think for 76, 77, more modern time. But like you said, you know, the only other storyline I could think of for Wonder Woman is the conflict battles with her and Aquaman, since they supposedly come from the same realm, same type of mythos.
King and princess of different places.
Well, one's Atlantis, the other one is
Paradise Island,
but still the Roman Greek culture aspect of things.
I mean, it's the same thing with, like, why do people have a problem swallowing Superman or liking Superman? And you know, to my answer has not always been his rogues gallery. You know, what makes Batman so great? His villains are the best possibly in comics. You know, bar none, he has the best rogues gallery of any superhero out there. Superman, being the most powerful character, has kind of a lackluster amount of rogues. Like, you know, right. Luther, Brainiac, and this really starts to tail off after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just about the superhero, it's also what's around the superhero too, and how much work's been put into it. I think, you know, to me, I thought when the New 52 launched, and that run of Wonder Woman might have been one of the tightest and one of the most enjoyable long runs of Wonder Woman in a long time, maybe since, like, you know, like Perez doing it back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's 20, 30 years ago. So, you know, she's had a long gap of not being on the forefront of creators and storyline, things like that. So, which I think is, I really do feel like it's going to change.
Sensation Comics has been good, and they do a different writer and artist. Actually, the one we just picked up today, I'm not sure who did the cover, but it's really, really good. It's like, it looks all ages. The cover does. And then the last Sensation Comics that I read, I'm not sure if it was the last one was out, was the Lumberjanes, Noelle Stevenson. She does Lumberjanes. She did the story and the art for the last Wonder Woman, basically, Sensation Comics. And it was really good. So that's been, you know, when I think of Wonder Woman, I think of her origin story. Actually, me and my daughter reading through from origin, like, up until we can't. And then, and so for me and her, that's probably the origin story. I think we read it like 3 or 4 times. Definitely is what sticks with us when we think of Wonder Woman. And of course, the origin story, and then like the 3 or 4 after that, those are the best Wonder Woman stories, like, ever. Like, they're so good. There's so much story going on. There's so many words. It's just, and it's funny. There's humor. It's so good. But I will say that when they make this Wonder Woman movie, I'm so excited for all the merchandise, for all the just everything that's going to be surrounding it. Not just the movie, but just everything. Like, all the hype, all the, you know.
As long as they get it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the purple and the pink.
Even if they don't get it right, it still puts it in the consciousness. Because look at Green Lantern. He was kind of a nobody in general public. That movie was terrible, and it still put Green Lantern in the forefront of, like, at least costing kids and stuff like that. So.
Right. But at least he didn't make for girls with Green Lantern a pink Green Lantern t-shirt.
I mean, come on, that's Star Sapphires. For girls, when you have a daughter that likes superhero stuff, finding t-shirts that are not girly, that are not pink and purple and glittery and sparkly, or have a tutu attached to the superhero whatever, you know, it's like, why can't they just wear a superhero costume like the boys do, you know? Because we finally found for MegaCon, we found for her, she didn't end up wearing it because she stayed in her dress all day, but we found a Marvel t-shirt that did not look too girly. It was a purple shirt. It was a dark purple, but all the character, it had glitter on the Marvel writing, but it wasn't screaming.
It didn't. Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't screaming.
It wasn't screaming.
And all the superheroes were in their colors that they should be in. They didn't make them in the pinks and the pastels. They were their natural coloring. And when she wore it to school and her little friend saw it, he came up to her and he's like, I like that shirt. You know, so it had the appeal that it was a shirt for a girl, but it's still...
Yeah. Well, his mom looks at him and goes, now say hi to Zoe. He gets out of the car. I like that shirt. No hi, like he was asked to do. I like that shirt. But, I'm just hoping with the Wonder Woman movie, even with Batman Loves Superman, as we say on the show. Yes,
it's my favorite title for like any movie. Batman Loves Superman.
And of course, we got the Fantastic Flop coming out later this year as well. That's Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It wasn't that much of a stretch there.
I'm just hoping Wonder Woman does carry more of a presence. So, and I hope we see more merch for Wonder Woman appear, more or less for my daughter, you know, for our daughter's sake. I almost forgot for a moment my wife was on the show. another person chatting.
Well, what's interesting, my son today had at his daycare, they had like dress up day. And so it was interesting to see what the kids chose to wear, because it was like any kind of costume that they could wear. So the majority, I'd say like 3/4 of the boys were all superheroes, including my son. He had to go as Wolverine this morning. But like 3/4 of the girls all showed up as princesses of various sorts. So I couldn't tell one from the other because that's not my world. But there was like one girl that had a Batgirl costume on, and I'm kind of curious, like if we get sort of that big superhero female kind of role, will that, you know, the next time that they have dress up there, and will I see more more Wonder Woman women there, or whatever's in the spotlight at that time?
But in all honesty,
I'm curious to see if it'll change.
In all honesty, it has a lot to do with the parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you really look at the parents, and do they expose their children to this world? Because a lot of them, if they have girls, they kind of push the princess and they push the girly items. They don't let them just explore. And you can be a girl and like superheroes. You can be a girl and like Star Wars. You can be a girl and want to play with construction vehicles. You can be a girl and do anything that a little boy does as far as play, and it's acceptable if you let it be and don't put the stereotypes and stigmas on them. And the same goes for boys too. If they want to wear a tiara and dance around, why not? They're kids. Let them be kids.
I think one of the better days is when Zoe grabbed her Rapunzel costume and then started chasing people around with her lightsaber. Hey, fine with that. Not a problem.
This princess don't need no short little Skywalker to save her.
Exactly. You know, they can save themselves and they can empower themselves. But the fun one that I love is she just likes superheroes in general to the point of her favorite blanket becomes a cape. And she creates her own superhero personas just by using fun things around the house. And it doesn't have to be the store-bought costume. She has plenty of those. Don't get us wrong. But she uses her imagination. And a lot of kids, I think, get away from that now because we're too tech-driven. And they're too iPad, iPod, computer, laptop, and they lost the imagination side of childhood. And superheroes kind of allow you to expand on that a little more if you really think about it.
Oh, yeah. My 4-year-old, on the other side of it, my 4-year-old little boy loves Wonder Woman. So I kind of wish, well, we bought him the, at Target, they have the invisible jet, and then with the Wonder Woman, like the little people Wonder Woman.
Yes. Zoe has that too.
She goes in it, yeah. And we bought it for him because he basically loves Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and then like he likes the Flash. He's really a DC kid. But I was thinking to myself at the same time, like, you know, they don't have Wonder Woman shirts for little boys. Like they don't. It's Superman, Batman, you know, Thor. Like if you go in the Disney store, it's, you know, the Spider-Man, Thor, all that stuff. So I was hoping when the Lego movie came out, like if they had, I mean, Wonder Woman was in it for like a couple seconds, but I was hoping, well, maybe they'll make like a Lego movie shirt with Wonder Woman in it that I could buy him, because he loves Batman, loves Wonder Woman. And I just have not, I mean, I didn't really like go online and look, I might find something, but I'm sure that if it's a Wonder Woman shirt, it's going to be pink, which, I mean, he could wear a pink shirt. He doesn't care, but it's like, I kind of want like, you know, a just boy a Wonder Woman shirt.
Right.
Or a normal, just like a white shirt with Wonder Woman that he could wear.
I'm going to throw a cheap plug out. Check out our affiliate, Superhero Stuff, on the homepage of WeebieGeeks.net, or check Amazon.com, also found on the homepage of WeebieGeeks.net. See what they have.
Nice. Yeah. I was just now thinking, I was like, don't we have like a t-shirt people that we're attached to?
Yep.
Well, and I would think since there was the relationship between Batman and Wonder Woman in the Lego movie, that there might be a t-shirt that had the two of them paired up together.
I thought the relationship was between, in the Lego movie, Batman and Wildfire.
And Wild Style.
Wildfire.
Well, and the other thing is, I'm actually kind of disappointed, and I think there needs to be more Lego movie stuff. Like, there needs to be more. They should have focused more on like Batman. I mean, they focused on Emmett; he's the main character. But I wanted like the Batman and the Wonder Woman, and I wanted all that type of stuff, and it was all like Wild Style and Emmett. Like, who cares about them? I like them.
There is a spinoff Lego movie for Batman coming.
Yeah, I'm.
So I think that's either next year or the year after.
Did I watch? I watched just a video just a little bit ago about that. I thought maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, like I even like just getting the Lego movie sets. They're all I mean, I think there is one with Batman in it, but he has all the Batman minifigures. So I'm like, kind of stay away from that. But yeah, I don't know.
I almost bought me some Lego movie Legos the other day. Like, I actually saw the set with like the double decker couch.
Yeah,
which is actually like a really great set, because you get like six figures from the movie. You get like, you know, like Emmett and Unikitty and President Business and like, you know, like the main guys. I'm like, holy crap, this is the best value, because it's only like, I think it's like $50, which is pretty good for Lego. But you get,
yeah, with six minifigs.
Yeah. I was like, I need to buy this, but I can't right now. But I want to buy it.
Yeah, well.
I had to be disciplined at that time, because if I got something, then the kid had to get something, and it just adds up.
Well, because you can't share with your child?
I will say, for my birthday, I was given a Lego set of, it was like an Avengers Lego set. It has like, it comes with like a Lego, or a shield Jeep, and a Hydra Dune Buggy. And then you got like little minifigures, and also comes with Thor and Hawkeye. Really cool. I've been so far been able to keep it in one piece, but my son, like, he'll play with it, and all of a sudden he comes up to me, he's like, this fell off. And it's like, I don't even know where this goes anymore. It's all in, you know, pieces. I had a bat helicopter at one point. I think it's mostly down to like the fuselage, and I think one flat like spin it.
So
I
have no idea what the rest of
it is. I need to put them up higher apparently, or something.
Oh, or you have to get the craggle out.
I know. I will crackle.
Well,
Taco Tuesday is going to happen.
It was weird when we got the new Lego Batman, or no, the Lego Justice League versus Bizarro League, and it came with the Bat Zorro.
Yeah, we have that too.
Zoe went nuts. This is Bat Zorro. He's not the greatest detective out there, but he's purple and he's got holes in his cape. He's awesome.
Yeah, I actually got to watch like half of that, and it's actually really good. I liked it a lot. It's really funny. I keep watching at the same point, like the middle to the end, but I need to watch the beginning. So
if you're not careful, there's almost a good message in there as well.
Yeah, there is a good message. I was like, oh, this is going to make me cry. It's Lego.
So we're coming close to the end of the show for tonight. We've already plugged Amazon. We've already plugged Superhero Stuff. Check out our sponsors, which is Audio-Technica, and their gaming headsets, their regular headsets. They've got headsets with built-in volume control and microphones for your mobile devices. Check out the various description boxes that are on the homepage as well. Check out not only us, but Mighty Marvel Geeks, and the other 10 shows on the network. Just joined this past week is Less Than or Sequel To, a show where they talk about movie sequels, which is pretty cool, and Geek Watch 1 with Kyle and Ken. another geek culture show, which that's fine. There's room on the Weeby Geeks Network for that. That's why we're the official voice of the Geek Revolution and the official network of the Geek Revolution. Geek culture is taking over everywhere. So if anyone got any last words or shout outs?
There was something. I keep feeling like there's something going on this weekend and it's bugging the crap out of me. I have no idea what it, I think what it is because everything's been coming out, like releasing, right. Like Daredevil came out on Netflix, Game of Thrones, yeah. On HBO. So it's like, it feels like there should be something this weekend, but I don't know what it is.
This weekend, so, Star Wars Celebration.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. It's gotta be something.
Yeah.
But that's, I need to go get caught up on some TV because, I did get to see Game of Thrones episode one, nothing crazy happened, but it's setting up. I can see some good setup for another spectacular. So go watch it if you haven't. Go get caught up, Mike.
Need to
talk about it.
It's got dragons and boobs in it. Why aren't you watching this?
Because we don't own HBO.
Oh, that's
but you can. I guess we could do HBO now, mm-hmm. and sign up for the free month since mm-hmm. they're offering that free month when you first sign up.
On the binge scenes. Watch. Yeah. Binge watch.
I don't have time to binge watch. That's
you
the whole problem.
To binge watch.
Problem is, if I come home, binge watch, I'm not going to get any sleep, and then I have to get up and go to work.
But that's the best way to watch Game of Thrones. Just plow through it. Because once you hit like that certain episode, it's like, oh, I gotta watch another. Oh, I gotta watch another. And you just like keep slapping the arm, looking for another vein to plug it into.
Yeah, me not getting best enough way. Sleep, I die because it keeps her up. So
he's very lucky the pillow stays under my head and not over his face. And what's bad is the dog snores too, so between the two of them, if I don't fall asleep first, I don't sleep. And if I don't sleep, the world is not a happy place.
So now that you're actually both going to go to sleep at the same time tonight, should we be looking for a police report tomorrow morning?
Are you mental?
I'm just saying that if you wind up dead, I think I know the reason now. We have it on audio.
I know. I have put it out there to the world.
Why?
No, I love him dearly, and I would never harm him intentionally, but there are nights that misophonia comes into play, and I really, really wish he would just be quiet.
Melissa's got audio of me snoring.
I wish it were that simple. One day I'll set up the equipment and you'll hear how loud you are. Basically, the dog snoring in our room sounds like him snoring on the couch in the living room when he falls asleep watching TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
The between the two of them, they're quite quite challenging to share sleeping space with.
So, Jules, any last words?
Well, I did watch Daredevil. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched, I think we're getting ready to start episode 4, and I am in love with this show, and I want it to never end. I'm kind of sad. I think it's only like 13 episodes.
I think it's 10.
13.
Is it 13?
Yeah, they did a full 13.
I can't even like put into words how much I love it. I didn't know what to expect. And I've never seen the guy that I think his name is Charlie Cox in real life, the guy that plays Daredevil. I'd never seen him in anything. So I was just kind of like going into this like, oh, okay. And everybody was talking about it.
You were going to go into it blind, weren't you?
It's a little bit dark. It's a little bit dark, but I honestly, watching it, I think it's the right amount of darkness. And also, there's a couple scenes, there's more than a couple, where I'm like, I feel like I'm reading a comic book right now. This is exactly the way whoever's doing the show, which I should know, but I don't, is doing it right. Like, it's just, the fight scenes are absolutely fantastic. And you know how when you're watching a show, and then, you know, the superhero is beating up the bad guy, and the bad guy's just gets punched and he's down. No, not this show. These bad guys are freaking tough, and they are, I mean, there'll be like a 15-minute fight scene just because they don't stay down. Like, the Plus one
they
scene...
They also don't have to worry about cramming something into 42 minutes or whatever like that. They can just let scenes breathe like that.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, the one scene that I was actually laughing at, and I probably shouldn't have been, was, and I don't want to spoil it, but he's fighting like probably about 8 guys maybe, and it goes on for like 15 minutes because they keep getting up. And it's very realistic because you think, you know, some of these guys are big. You know, they're going to go down. They're going to come right back up. They're not just going to lay down there, you know. So that's good. Rosario Dawson, which I didn't know, she is in it, and I love her. So she's in, I can't remember if she's in the first, if she came in the first episode, I think it's the second episode she comes in on. She's been in the second and the third. Trying to think of what else. Anyways, we are so obsessed with it. And like, our DVR is at 100% because I'm like, we have to watch Daredevil. We can't watch anything else until it's finished. Like, I don't care. That's how good it is. So
worth a Netflix subscription. With Netflix.
Yes, I'm so happy with Netflix. I'm like, I just want to write them a letter and just be like, thank you so much for giving me this. And it's like the best thing ever. So.
What about you, Melissa?
Well, I've had fun, but it is well past my bedtime, so.
Well, on that note, like I've said, check out the different shows on the on our podcast network, our little network as we grow. Check out our sponsors, our affiliates, such as even Rick's Comic City, where enter the code WeBeGeeks, you get 10% off.
Actually, I forgot to tell you this. We didn't talk too much before the show, but one up you on that. Currently, right now, rickscomiccity.com, 50% off everything on the store.
Wow.
Yeah. I got an email about that. I was like, oh.
Doing a little spring cleaning. We figured if Marvel and DC can just, you know, do their crossovers and clean house, we're going to clean some book out too. So we're doing Marvel, DC, everything on the store. There's some Dark Horse. There's some books on there. Some HeroClick even. Please buy those HeroClick. I already looking at them. So yeah, go ahead and 50% off. Go check it out at least through the end of the month. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Awesome.
So on that note, this has been Mike, Jules, Marty, special guests, my wife Melissa, and all I got to say is cosplay is not for conventions anymore.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.